Hello out there, this is Samwise Didier, and you're listening to Hot's Cast for the Storm.
This is Jay.
And this is Mike
from Stopcast.
And you're listening to Hot's Cast.
Hey, this is Terpster. You're listening to Hot's Cast.
Hi, this is Todd Whitehead with Alpha Geek Media, and you're listening to Hot's Cast.
You are listening to Hot's Cast. All the Heroes of the Storm coverage you can handle.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hot's Cast number 100. I am your host, Vincent Minucci, a.k.a. Rillandoon. Joining me shortly will be my co-hosts, Mike Halperin, a.k.a. Fimless, and Kaylee Gillis, a.k.a. Nerdy Char. Hotscast is the world's longest-running Heroes of the Storm podcast, born at BlizzCon 2013, and coming to you from the D20 Crit Network. For this episode, we had Tony Sue, game producer and Heroes of the Storm team member, for an interview featuring all of the Aureal content you could possibly hope to hear. Tony is an amazing guy, and we had a fantastic time talking to him. We actually got the chance to talk to him twice because the interview was scheduled for last week, but there was some technical difficulty on my end. And now to the main interview with Tony Sue. This took place Monday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. on the Blizzard Coast. The interview focuses most heavily on Aureal, the forthcoming Archangel of Hope, the new support class into Heroes of the Storm, and it was fantastic. We had a great talk with Tony. You're going to hear it in a moment. Tony's a great guy. Siobhan Slaughter, who is an amazing community manager there at Blizzard as well, was, you got to hear her a little bit, and she's awesome. She's the one who got this interview set up for us, and Siobhan's amazing. We've been communicating with her for, oh gosh, at least the past 2 years that we've been broadcasting. And yeah, it was a great interview, so please sit back and enjoy all of the Aureal information you could possibly hope to know. Cheers, folks. But I won't.
You're like, well, we have this guest today. He's just not going to say a single thing.
He's very quiet. Very, very yes. Quiet. Very shy. Yeah.
And then you just string your you know, your listeners along the whole way, and then just nothing. No payoff at the end.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. How you doing, Tony? You good?
I'm doing awesome. Yeah. Like I said, I was in the process of apologizing. The life of a producer is we go from meeting to meeting, and as such, we're late to every meeting because everyone runs over, which means we don't have that magic 10-minute class bell in between to say, get to right. Your next meeting. So. Right.
I know that feeling well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All I do is sit in meetings all day at my job.
Yeah. Let me know when you want me to start streaming, real.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. I loved working in corporate America when you would have meetings to plan meetings to plan meetings.
We do that.
Yep.
It's so aggravating.
I know. That is a thing.
I think it's okay to ask.
Oh, just going over that question I sent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in the grand scheme of life, I think you're welcome to ask whatever you want. If I can answer it, I definitely will. I don't know. This is, you know, the challenging thing is Heroes. Oh, yeah. I don't know. But it's such a big team now that everyone does a different part. And so in the grand scheme of life, to have one person speak to all the different elements that go into making a hero is just so challenging.
Oh, sure. I'm sure. How big is the team? Can you say? I mean,
yeah, I think, well, I guess it depends. I mean, looking at the core team in and of itself, I think we're about 150 to 200-ish. But then, you know, that's also just, it's a number because, you know, who is the team? Along with that, there are the developers, the designers, the engineers, the producers, then we have the audio team, we have our amazing community team, our PR team, we have, you know, cinematics and video production, like, so it goes on and on, and so it right. Makes it hard to say who is the team that makes it, but if you want to look at, you know, like, the people, I guess, sitting in our building is it's kind of, we've tried to draw the people that work on our game directly and primarily is somewhere between 150 to 200-ish.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, pretty crazy considering we did the first StarCraft with about 45-50 people, so
oh my gosh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that should give you an idea of scope. It's
wow,
I think rivaling the WoW team now. So it's one of those, yeah, especially, oh, you know, crazy. For our team, going from super small team of like knowing every name and face to, hey, what team do you work on? I work on yours. You're like, oh, I should stop asking that question. We're so big now.
That's funny. Yeah. And certainly I'd like to ask what I know everyone is wondering is, when is the cinematic team going to be increased to the point that Blizzard Cinematic will basically be rivaling Pixar? Because that's what we all want, obviously. Yeah.
it's something we want, too. So the funny thing, I think their official name is Blizzard Film Department.
Nice.
Which is, yeah, it's good, an awesome first step. Name. It's got a great ring to it. And yeah. Like firsthand, this is, oh, man, 10, 11 years ago, when I applied for the StarCraft team, I was a lead game master, and I was like, dude, I would love to work for as a producer in the company. And so I applied for World of Warcraft, and I applied for StarCraft, and I applied for cinematics all at the same time.
Nice.
And so the cool thing is there was a bunch of producers they needed, so I got to chat with several of the groups. And that was actually one of the big questions in asking them is, like, why, you know, we have this amazing cinematic team or the film department, and they make, you know, just these glorious videos, and wouldn't we love to see a movie about that? And I think, you know, it resonated with me, because it got to the point that after many rounds of interviews, I had two groups offer me, and they said, we'd love to have you on StarCraft, and we'd love to have you on our cinematics team. And so they actually left it to me to say, hey, what would you like to do?
Oh, and, wow.
And the one thing, you know, my heart has always been with StarCraft. That's the game that got me into Blizzard. I grew up playing Big Game Hunter and, you know, 8-player free-for-alls and craziness. But before accepting, I promised either team, if I'm going to choose one of the teams, I want to go back to the other team just to let them know, you know, and you know, to make sure if they have a final pitch or some additional info to let me know. And so I went to the cinematics team to say, hey, I think I'm going to be going with the StarCraft team. I just wanted to check with you guys, like, is that okay? Like, what are your thoughts on it? You know, any hard feelings? And you know, what they told me was phenomenal. They're like, you know what? If it were up to us, you should go to StarCraft. Because as much as we'd love to have you, I mean, it'd be great to have your help. First and foremost, Blizzard makes games. And as awesome it would be to say the Blizzard Film Department needs more help, or the Blizzard Film Department wants to make more cool things, if we're not making games, we're not doing, you know, what our heart is telling us to do. And so go to StarCraft. And to me, I like, that was so mind-blowing to say, wow, you guys are doubly awesome, which makes me want to work for you. But, you know, I ended up going the StarCraft route. But it was really cool to hear from that side, too, just to say, fundamentally, at our heart, Blizzard is a game company. And while we make just amazing, mind-blowing cinematics, you know, if you're going to help the company, go help the game team first.
Hmm. Nice. That's,
yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's very telling, because everything that Blizzard does obviously comes with a level of polish and professionalism and quality that really sets it apart among, you know, all the amazing gaming companies out there. I mean, even down to you know, the music, especially. I'm a huge fan of the music and the sound design in all of Blizzard's games and in everything. That's something that is always very upfront for me, no matter what, if I'm watching a movie, television show, playing a game, whatever. I mean, Russell Brower could very easily be scoring everything. I mean, you know, he's up there with the John Williams and the Howard Shores of the world.
Phenomenal.
You know, he does it for games. You know, he does it for Blizzard games. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. You know, that it's amazing, the passion that goes into it, for sure.
Well, yeah, and it's definitely humbling for us at Blizzard to have someone of his talent and passion and you know, to be, you know, amongst the peers of John Williams and whatnot, to say, my passion is video games. I want to take your video games to the next level. I want to make games, and I, you know, to make the audio and the scores for it, to make those games sing even more. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Even our audio team, the amount of detail they put into things, you know, it's kind of the Blizzard polish of no stone left unturned. Like when, you know, we were making the game, even the level of detail that you wouldn't realize there are sounds, but if you take that camera and you click all the way in, you'll hear like birds chirping, or you hear the leaves rustling, those little things that you never hear until you zoom into that world. And you're like,
right.
Oh man, they actually thought about that. They went that one extra step that if someone does it, you'll find it there. And that's kind of that layer, you know, that layering and that polish of that, that makes Blizzard Blizzard.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Tony, can you actually tell us like what is specifically your role with here? Oh, by the way, I've been recording, so we're like,
oh yeah, totally fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of like the Nerdist. We don't do like a big like formal intro. Just kind of we just start talking. So
no, that's great. It makes it so much more comfortable. Okay, we're ready to talk to you now.
Yeah, I know.
Let me get my interview voice
yeah.
on.
Like, yeah, no. exactly. Nobody likes that hard sell at the beginning.
Yeah. So I guess first and foremost, hey, my name is Tony Hsu. I am a senior producer working on Heroes of the Storm. I've been with Blizzard, a little bit over 13 years. So it's awesome to have my entire journey at Blizzard. I started 13 years ago in tech design, or not even tech design, sorry, tech support, doing emails and answering emails and saying, hey, thanks for playing War 3 and you're having problems with your drivers and this is how I can help you with it. And so that was cool. Yeah, because I got to meet a lot of people in the company. I got to learn about all our different games. And even in starting, I think it was 1 week after I started, the Diablo 2 110 patch hit and hell froze over and everything went crazy. Of course. That was the super major patch for Diablo. And then even a month beyond that, then we launched Warcraft 3. So it was phenomenal getting to, you know, to start at the very beginning and to see the roots of Blizzard and then to move my way up. And over the course of the years, got to work with the game master department and help set up the GM department on the ground floor. Got to work as a senior game master, got to work as a lead game master, and then got to help coordinate one of the first BlizzCons. And then, you know, luckily enough, I was able to get a position on the StarCraft team as an associate producer, and then working with the engineering team and the design group producer on the design group, and then senior producer, and moving from StarCraft over to Heroes of the Storm. So overall, a little bit of everything. I have this huge stack of business cards on the corner of my desk.
Nice.
Which
nice.
Is so hilarious that nice. My very first business card I got too, it had our actual physical address when we were back behind the UCI Business Park, and our address was unlisted. So I felt like I couldn't give it to anyone because I'm like, if I give you this card, you're going to have the secret map on how to come find us. So I gave one to my mom.
Give it to anybody else, I will have to track you down.
Yeah. So I gave one to my mom and I'm like, Mom, here you go. Here's my business card. Please don't give it to
anyone.
Don't show it to anyone. But
you should take all your business cards that you have and make like a mosaic out of them.
Oh, right. That's a good idea.
That would be cool. It'd be pretty boring. It's a lot of Tony Hsu on there, but
that's okay.
That's all right.
Other people will like it.
Yeah.
You know, the fun thing about that too, though, it was an amazing thing for, even when I was a lead GM, because I kept that little box of cards in the corner, and it was a great thing to show my team that, hey, I started actually one step back from where you're at. And I worked my way up, and if I could do it, like I'm just some random dude. If I could do it, anyone could do it. And it was really inspiring for them to know I've actually done their job, as opposed to just I was hired in as your boss and I'm the dude telling you to do stuff.
Sure.
So it was really cool, you know, and it was eye opening to a lot of them too to go, oh wow, I didn't know you started doing that. And I was like, oh man, like I said, I started out doing what you're doing, and you keep at it and just be awesome, and you know, show that Blizzard excellence. Like you can clearly be me. And obviously, many of them have surpassed me, which is okay. But that's one of the awesome things about working at Blizzard is just, you know, the ability to look for people at the company who are talented and just to recognize that and to have them help more with the company.
That's fantastic.
We'll give you our applications at the end of the show. And
no problem.
Forward them on for us.
Will do. So I guess that's a super long-winded way of saying I am a senior producer working on Heroes of the Storm, and I work primarily with the design group and just working with the Battlegrounds, working with the hero guys, working with our balance teams and our tech design groups just to make sure we are making the best game possible.
Awesome. Very good. Before we jump into our questions that we have for you, and we'll be tangenting off because that's what we do in between, I just want to say something real quick. As somebody who's been in sales for the last almost 20 years, the concept of not giving out a business card is so foreign to me. that it's like, wait, what? I can't give out my business cards? What?
Yeah. Well, you know, funny enough, I actually came from sales before Blizzard. So, yeah, doubly so.
So you know how that feels.
Awesome, precious business card.
I have like hundreds of business cards that I don't give to anybody because I never am in any position to like that anybody would want one of my business cards right. or something. It's when I go to conferences, which I actually am starting to go to more now. So I will probably be giving out my business cards a lot. So not BlizzCon I go to, but that's not the kind of conference.
No, not that kind of conference.
Work conferences. Less
that conference
exciting.
You do give out business cards, actually. I see you give out business cards.
I give out our business cards.
Yes. Although I guess that's not really business, is it? It's
not sure it is.
We pleasure know.
Card.
Yeah. It's a card. It's an information yeah, card.
It's a card. Yeah, right. I give out my little Hearthstone cards.
Yes. Yes. The Hearthstone cards are great. All right. Yeah, let's jump in. Kaylee, this is one specifically from you. So you want to tackle this first question for us?
Sure. So I was curious, since we already have Tyrael, what was the draw to doing another Archangel? And what challenges did you guys face keeping Ariel's silhouette different from Tyrael's, especially since they have like similar skins?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, you know, it's interesting because the whole psychology behind what hero we're choosing next, there's actually this huge, giant, complex process behind it. You know, you'd think like, oh, hey, you know, Kent Eric, who do you want to make? And he's like, I want to make this guy. And that's how we do it. But there's a huge process behind, you know, kind of looking at all of the different roles. And first and foremost, what does the game need? That's one of the things we always consider of like, what roles do we need? Do we need more supports, which obviously the community has told us and we're well aware of. You know, we're looking at IP representation of, do we want another Diablo character? Do we want someone from StarCraft? And looking at, you know, diversity and looking at males and females and looking at, you know, things like, are there different races that we don't have in the game or different areas that we want to celebrate and bring to the Nexus? So it's awesome. For Ariel specifically, we knew we wanted a Diablo support. And so that's kind of how we started on the discussion of who would make a cool Diablo support. And in looking at the
We've
roster
had that
we
discussion
had.
Too.
Oh, many times.
You guys, what did you planned on?
Mostly it was Deckard Cain, just because.
Deckard?
I mean, it's
we
Deckard
still
Cain.
Want Deckard.
Yes.
But it's a different kind of support. Yeah, I'll stay a while.
And let me heal you.
Yeah, so let me band-aid you. It'd be pretty slow. I don't think your team would do too well with that. But
I think we had a hypothesis of throwing books at heroes to heal them. Like
oh,
Chuck,
or you could sleep them. You could sleep them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sleep the other heroes. Yeah, we talked about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But yeah, he would just talk the whole game and he would just never finish a sentence.
Never stop. Yes.
No.
But so, you know, how we ended up with Ariel is in looking at the concept of, you know, a healer, a support for Diablo, with her being the Archangel of Hope, we thought that was a really natural fit. And so, you know, to go into your second question, that was obviously the next one of like, but it's another angel. And we already do have Tyrael in the game. And so how do you make her different? How do you look different? You know, how do you make sure that we don't have those confusing silhouettes of big floaty thing with wings and the second big floaty thing with wings? And so our art team is actually absolutely phenomenal. And they're awesome in that they did a ton of concepts for her. And also, you know, drawing on the amazing lore and the art team from the Diablo, you know, team, they made our jobs much easier too. And first and foremost, in looking at her ribbons, I think they're called the Cord of Hope is what they're officially known as. But it's something that gives her a very different silhouette from Tyrael. If you look at Tyrael, he's kind of bulky on the top side, more like linebacker. He has some hard artified wings on the back. And then along with that, the big flowy tendrils. And so, you know, he also has Eldruin. So as he's rolling around, you know, he has a very strong silhouette that it's kind of like a Dorito, I guess. I'm a big Civil War fan. But it's like a Dorito holding a sword with wings. And so in looking at Oreo, we wanted to make sure that we had a very different silhouette with her, that she's much more slender. She's much more feminine. And in playing up the idea of having the Cord of Hope, they're very flowing. And that's an essential part of her character. Her wings are actually also very different from Tyrael's in the fact that Tyrael's has that hard artification. And then the flowy tendrils, hers are, I guess they're still ethereal, but they're more solid, I guess, in regards to shape, and they're less flowy. Hmm. So fundamentally looking at the two, you know, they have the faceless aspect, they have wings, they float, but her silhouette is very, very different with her being slender, the way that she moves, the way that a lot of her movement is based around her ribbons. They read very differently. And even in looking at the skins that we have available too, at least in gameplay so far, this is one of the things we also look at is readability, and we haven't had that problem.
Fantastic. Awesome. That's
and
awesome.
And her art is gorgeous.
So it is, unbelievably it? Gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my
well,
gosh.
You know, one of the things we do is we also want to make sure to, we match up our artists and designers who are most passionate about the hero too. So that's kind of one of the polls we do is saying, okay, well, we've landed on Ariel being one of our supports for Diablo. Who plays Diablo? Who knows these characters? Who wants to work on them? And that passion clearly, clearly comes through, you know, and obviously our team is talented enough that if you weren't a Diablo fan, you could still make something fantastic, but in being a fan of Diablo 3 and in being a fan of Ariel and you know, the whole the council, it makes it very easy to inject even more into that to bring them to life and to bring them into the hero style as well.
Outstanding. Yeah, her, she looks amazing. I know personally, like, I've always been huge on in any kind of gaming aspect to paladin types, you know, Archangel, that whole mythos. And in fact, BlizzCon 2013, actually, Mike and I were sitting next to each other when we sat down to play Heroes for the first time. Tyrael was instantaneously. I went right to Tyrael. And I wasn't a... D3, did that come out before BlizzCon 2013? I'm having a hard time remembering, timeline-wise.
I don't think so, but okay. I don't remember, to be honest.
I mean, the reason I didn't play... I didn't really play Diablo until D3. I played a little bit of D2, but not much. But Tyrael, I just picked up instantly at BlizzCon 2013. I just, like, this
Diablo
guy is 3, amazing.
The initial release was May 15th, 2012.
Oh.
Okay, so...
Oh, then I was playing D3 for a while then, up until that point. But so that takes away my point, except that I absolutely love Tyrael. He's still my most played hero to date. I absolutely love him. So the thought of another Archangel coming into the game, I'm just absolutely giddy over. I love it. And the ribbons feel very, that flowiness to it. I have these visions of almost like an anime style character. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of see that flowing fabric type thing come in certain animes. And I can't wait. I'm sure this is going to be fantastic. Let's go to the next one. Mike, you had this one up. So you want to take number two?
Yes. As soon as I can. Get back to it because I was looking at pictures, which
I'm doing the same thing.
So in terms of, you know, you kind of talked about the silhouette and everything, and this kind of moving more toward competitive play, what does she bring that can counter other heroes in competitive play?
Yeah, well, I mean, competitive or not, her kit, I think, is absolutely amazing. You know, some of the fun aspects, well, I guess some of the things that really set her apart is her trait is called Bestow Hope. Mm-hmm. To explain a little bit more about what we've done with that is, you know, fundamentally, or a lot of our heroes are based off of energy or they're based off of mana in order to heal as a support. And so Ariel has actually no mana at all. And basically her resource, I think we've called it stored healing. I don't know if this is a very creative name, but the way that she works is that the more damage that she deals, it starts charging her up, which then allows her to heal others. And then the cool thing about Bestow Hope as well is beyond just the damage that she deals, she can also bestow it upon a champion. And the person that she bestows also then generates healing for her as well. So the more aggression that you have either with herself or with your teammate and the more damage you're dealing, that provides you more resources. So fundamentally, it gives her more of a sustained role that you're not by mana of, you know, how much can you heal? And then you run out, then you need to go back to the fountain to go drink again. But more so, you know, provided you're choosing the right target, if you choose like a Li Ming, if you're choosing like an Illidan and they're always in the fray and they're dealing damage on the front lines, you know, you can get a lot of healing really quickly, which is great with the Ray of Heaven. And so fundamentally that alone lets you stay in the combat, along with having abilities like her Detainment Strike, which, you know, she'll take a ribbon and she'll rip it up. Ribbon? I said ribbon. Wow. It takes her a ribbon and it nice. Whips it out.
That's
and
we love it.
but she takes her ribbon and you know, she'll sling it at a target. If you hit him, it'll knock him back. And then if you knock the target into terrain as well, it'll cause a stun. So the nice thing about that is it also gives you, you know, a disengage, or it gives you the ability to kind of set up those combos as well that, you know, if you're able to flank someone, you slam them into the wall and then your team can engage and gank them. So it gives you a lot of flexibility. Along with that, her sacred sweep, once again, takes her ribbons from the sides and then sweeps from the outside into the inside. And it does a large arc, and that allows her to have a really good active wave clear as well.
So quick question about the pinning move. I know specifically it says terrain, but if you knock somebody into like a tower, would they stick to the tower? Oh, that's awesome.
Definitely. So basically anything that's, I guess terrain's a poor word, but anything that, I guess, a non-hero, non-minion type thing, a non-merc. So if you knock them into a wall, if you knock them into, you know, a tower, a keep, and anything of that sort, it'll stun them, you know.
Epic.
Yes, very epic. I agree.
So I guess, you know, to go back, and you were asking specifically for esports, I think that's a very different type of support that we have in the game. Mm-hmm. I think it also has those moments to allow you to shine too, you know, between the detainment strike and how you're using it, and looking at her talent kit and how you want to customize it, like, you know, just, you know, looking at detainment strike and her knockback stun. It's, you know, do you want to customize that to add a slow to it? Do you want to customize it for more damage? And even looking at her bestow hope too, she has several different options you can go to as opposed to just strictly dealing damage. You can also choose some options that the target that you choose for bestow hope, if they're soaking damage, you also then gain the ability to heal. So that fundamentally also lets you twist the way you're playing, or if you want to put it on tanks, or if you have a more tank-centric build, if you're doing like a double tank build, then that might be an option as opposed to focusing purely on aggression. You're looking at soaking and sustain. So there's a few different ways, and she fills a lot of those different roles in competitive play.
Excellent. Actually, I guess this, I'm going to reorder the questions a little bit, but this pertains to what you were just talking about then. So the healing mechanic in Ariel's kit with the building of energy by way of her trait, Bestow Hope, mm-hmm. and then consuming it with Ray of Heaven, with a direct correlation to the amount of energy gained, to the amount of healing done. So you said the more aggressive she is, the more healing she can do.
Mm-hmm.
Is this in keeping with the new way the team is looking at healing in heroes? And can we expect some of the other healers in the support class to get some changes to kind of follow in this new ethos?
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny you bring that up, because this is actually, it's a pretty strong discussion that we're having amongst our design group right now is philosophically, as we're learning more about the game, and that's one of the wonderful things about Heroes of the Storm is over the course of years that we've made this game, we've learned more, our community has learned more, and then with us working together, we're making better heroes. One of the things we're always looking at is, as we're learning new things, at what point in time, or do we ever want to go back to our older heroes and change them in order to align to this new type of philosophy? And so some of the, you know, the macro level things you'll look at, like quests or questing talents, is something that we'd recently experimented with. We tried putting on a few heroes to say, hey, if you can do something, you know, a certain amount of times, we'll give you a reward for doing it. Is that good or is it bad? And in doing our testing, and hopefully the community agrees as well, it's something we really like. And then we've gone back and we've added this to more heroes to provide that option for dynamic gameplay. And so that's something we looked at and we said, hey, this is really cool. Let's bring this back to other heroes. And we're still in the process of doing so too. So if you have a hero that doesn't have these, don't feel bad. Don't feel like you're left out, you know, we'll get there. But in regards to the way that Ariel heals, I think this is probably more systemic of an identifier of how we want to make her unique. One of the things we like about her character is, you know, she is that element of hope. She is that mediator who has sympathy and empathy for others, but she's also not afraid to fight for the things that she cares about, and also instilling hope in others allows, you know, her team to win. And we thought that was a very unique idea to allow her, you know, to have a support that is based on aggression, that is based on her team's aggression, allowing her to heal. I think if we went back and started giving this mechanic to more healers, to others, I think we'd start taking away from that specialness. And one of the things we always want to do is looking at the design space to make sure that the heroes that we're making feel unique, that, you know, if everyone had an escape, if everyone had a disengage, if everyone had a stun, then a lot of our heroes would start feeling the same. So, you know, we kind of want to find those niches of what makes someone feel different. And I think that's something so iconic to Ariel herself. we likely wouldn't go back. It's not to say that we wouldn't or we couldn't, but it would have to make sense for the character.
Okay.
It's very similar to the difference in with Gul'dan and his the life tap and
it was so fun
by himself. Yeah, it definitely is. I mean that in itself and the drain life lets you stay out there. If you're doing it right, you can pretty much, you don't have to go back ever. And it sounds like in some ways that's something that Ariel has too, that you can kind of, if you're doing things correctly and you're doing it well, you can just stay out there.
Yeah, definitely. And, and one of the things I completely forgot to talk about earlier, but for competitive play, her heroic is resurrect. That's one of them, obviously. And that's a huge game changer too. The fact that if someone dies on the battlefield, they'll remain a ghost for a period of time and you can bring them back to life. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, certainly.
Definitely.
Yeah, so that should be a lot of fun. But, even beyond that and chatting with our balance team, they actually favor Crystal Aegis in regards to competitive play. And not to say that, Resurrect doesn't have a home, but competitively, at least, Crystal Aegis, I think, is a little bit more of a game changer. And what that'll do is, in choosing that heroic, it allows you to choose one of your team members and it puts them in this chrysalis. So they become protected for a short period of time. So no damage could be dealt to them. And then after a short delay, they'll explode and deal damage around them. And so the fun thing on that, is if you're looking at competitive play, a lot of times the first thing to do is you melt the DPS or you melt the healer. So like say you're building like a Li Ming comp. Since she's really, really squishy, if she's going in aggressive, the first thing they do is turn to focus on her. You can Crystal Aegis her, which instantly protects her, which then forces the team to reassign of figuring out who you're going for now. And then she's going to explode as well. So something like that, I think, is also a huge game changer for competitive gameplay.
Hmm. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching people fight about getting her or ban her. One of the two, right? It'll be either first pick or ban.
Yeah.
Well, if things go well, though, they'll be doing both. So.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, and that means that other heroes that they constantly ban or first pick will not be. And so it'll change things up, which will be nice.
You mean we could actually play as Rhaegar in a competitive match at some
point? No, don't be silly. That's not going to happen.
Because I haven't been able to play him in competitive for a long time. That's awesome. All right.
You busy looking at pictures again?
Yeah, I was actually.
These pictures they're pretty. I'll give you that.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Especially the Bestow Hope, that like golden black. Oh my gosh, looks incredible. Are there any really standout talents to you? Like interesting talents that you could tell us about? Something that you just like that kind of modifies a certain part of your skill kit that you're really really digging on?
Yeah, definitely. But we have a ton of them, but probably the one that stands out, and I talked about this a little bit early, was for Bestow Hope, the one that allows you to soak damage in order to gain your healing. I love that one because it's a little bit of game changer, and even though in some of the games that we'd played before, we'd had a scenario where if we're like a level behind or we're two levels behind, it becomes a little bit more difficult to engage. And so if you need to deal damage in order to heal, but then you're afraid to engage the enemy, that makes it a little bit more challenging. And so something like that, I love to have that option that it spins the way that your team plays. It spins the way that you support the team. Nice. And instead of focusing solely on damage, you can now be a little bit reactive or to say, hey, we're going to put our tank out there. And along with our team dealing damage and our tank soaking damage, that then allows us to support. So it gives you a different way to play the character. It gives you that variation. And I think that's as a really clever talent. I think is a great way to allow her to play a little bit different. And, fundamentally it changes the way that your team plays as well.
Yeah. I really like when there's some talents that you can pick that change up the way, significantly change up the way things work with your skills and such, because it's always nice to have that kind of like, you play a certain way up to a point and then you get that talent and you want to get that specifically because you like that mechanic changes.
Yeah, definitely. And it gives you that flexibility too, that at that point, if you build a specific comp in order to go more damage, or if you're building a specific comp, to say mid game, we're going to shift strategies. It gives you that flexibility, which is really great. And along with that too, some of her other talents, and it's not a specific one, but she has several options that allow you to kind of build that carry if you want to build one of those comps, like, you know, back in the day, there was the Abathur Illidan type of thing, you know, or I mean, heck, you could even Abathur Murky and make them the killing machine.
But, yep.
But she has a lot of those options too, that if you want between Bestow Hope, you can find things that will buff the champion, the person that you're bestowed. And then as they're going in, you know, you can make them deal more damage as well. So like I said, she has a lot of options that make her really fun and flexible.
Nice. Would you say that she's going to be considered a high skill cap hero?
You know, I don't know necessarily if high skill cap is the right word for it. You know, one of the things that...
Yeah, sorry, not high...
No, I
what's the internal... The internal
MMR.
No. Like the classifications, like easy, medium,
high skill cap.
High skill cap. Okay.
To be honest, high skill cap.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that we're trying to do is, and the way that we're building, you know, some of our heroes, and this philosophy obviously changes with time, and also depending on how we're targeting heroes, is how many options or how much, I guess, complexity is a word that you can say, not necessarily in a negative way, but in giving you options of how do you want to play this hero. And it's something that in considering Ariel, we wanted to make sure that she had options in the way that you want to build her. You know, do you want to build her more defensive? Do you want to build her more offensive? Do you want to build her with that carry? Do you want to be reactive and helping your team with the resurrect? Or do you want more of that dive aggressive, you know, base comp with the Crystal Aegis? And so, you know, she does have skill shots with like the detainment strike, but there's also things like her sacred sweep, you know, with the big wave clear with bringing her ribbons. We want to make sure that fundamentally the kit that the hero has is actually understandable so that if you're picking her up, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. You got this, you know, this big AoE, you have the ability to heal, you have the ability to knock stuff away if you want to run away. And so I think those things resonate with newer players or, you know, even, you know, up to whatever level you want to play at. But fundamentally, we want to make sure that the heroes are embraceable, that you understand, that you enjoy them and you have fun playing them. And then along the way, you know, as you're moving up the tiers, if you want to get the competitive, if you want to get the drafting and those type of things, then you have those additional layers that you can opt to engage in order to give you more options.
She almost reminds me of like a Disc Priest or a Holy Pally in WoW, like where you smack on the bad guys to do more healing.
Yeah.
Or to get mana back.
Yep. Except she floats and has ribbons.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, one of the things that we have always talked about on this show and other shows that we've done, I mean, Mike and I have been doing Warcraft shows for years as well, is the Blizzard easy to play, difficult to master kind of
definitely
ethos around everything. Everything that Blizzard does has that. You can jump in, you can play it, you don't have to be a hardcore gamer to understand it, but there's always that, almost like that secret level, that turn it up to 11 level of play, that if you really get into it and you really master it, then you can play at that level, right?
I mean, we're hoping, you know, once again, you're playing these heroes, and over time, you know, at some point in time, sometimes there's that aha moment. They're like, oh, right. I just saw, you know, Tempest do something that I've never thought of doing that before. I've never looked at it that way, you know, or I chose a new talent. And that allows you to change the way that you're playing the hero. And you're like, oh, okay, that's right. Really cool. And so you have that ability to grow. And, you know, this is something that we have in a lot of our heroes. And fundamentally, we don't need them in all our heroes. You know, we want some of them to say, this is the hero that, you know, I enjoy while I'm having a beer on a Friday night while, you know, I'm tired and I'm just playing super, super casually. And that's awesome. And we also want to have those heroes that have the ability to grow so that if this is your favorite hero and over the course of time, you still have that ability to grow, to say, I've been playing, you know, Ariel for, you know, 6 months. I've been playing her for a year and I'm still enjoying her and I'm still finding more nuances about her that I hadn't realized before.
And there's that rhythm that you can, you know, build up damage, build up energy, releases healing, and you have that constant flow to it. And I love those the heroes that have that, you know, the rhythm is so important to the hero. It's not just QWER. There's a rhythm to it. And it seems like Ariel's going to be in that mode, that rhythm mode, where you can have a match where you're just on point and you just have it rolling so well, and you can end up being top damage dealer and top healer you know, because of getting into that zone, so to speak. And I love that.
You know, and the funny thing, like, you know, even one of those aha moments was with Bestow Hope. That, you know, it's the one that her trait that lets you put it on someone else in order to make them help you heal because of the damage they deal. And the way that I play is I'm fairly casual. I get competitive at times, but that's when I opt to play that way. But I typically just say, okay, here's the damage dealer. I'm going to stay in lane with them, and then sticking with the assassin, that'll help me heal. And then I was watching the balance guys play, and I'm like, oh man, these guys are moving it all the time because you're always looking for the ideal target. At this point, you know, if our team is going to go dive, they'll put it on the person who dives. From then, you'll swap it over to the person at range. And it's awesome to have that level of granularity that, you know, depending on how you want to engage with the hero and I guess how much you want to put into the hero in order to achieve those levels of mastery, that she has those layers there.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's like anytime I try to watch somebody on YouTube playing very high level Abathur play, it feels like I'm watching a StarCraft competitive match because their APMs just go through the roof, and I'm almost getting dizzy watching the screen by how many times they're clicking away on the minimap. But back on the main screen, they're all over the place. So that level of play, really, you start getting into, you know, that StarCraft mode where you're just looking at more than just, this is my lane, this is my person, this is what I'm doing.
As opposed to our ability to have our MPA as opposed to APM.
Yes, yes, yes. Minutes per action, not actions per minute. Exactly.
What do I want to do now?
Yes.
Well, you know, which was funny because, you know, for Abathur, it made so much sense to me that you would want to micro that and move the Abathur hat all over the place. But, you know, for Ariel, in picking her up, I was like, oh, cool. You just put this on someone and you just kind of soak it up.
Right.
But then and having that aha moment when someone's like, oh, wait, you know, you can move it around and bounce it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I never really thought about that. That's actually pretty cool. And so now, you know, I'm integrating that into that rhythm that you were talking about.
Nice.
Of the dealing the damage and picking up healing and, you know, moving that around. You get a little bit more out of it.
Very nice. Yeah, that
was like Lieutenant Morales and her healing. You can be very micro in that, sure, too. And
oh, yeah.
Pop it around. Totally.
Sure.
Especially in a team fight, you're like bing, 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 bing on everybody. Just get them a little bit.
Yeah. Or to call out another Blizzard property like Mercy in Overwatch. You know, if you're playing Mercy properly, you're flying all over the map. You're, you know.
You're healing. You're exactly. Damage amplify, healing,
exactly.
Damage amplify.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But you're constantly hitting as many targets as you can get to, not just laser focusing on the Bastion who's being protected by the Reinhardt shield and mowing you down from across. Not salty about that, of course, but
no,
you know.
not at all. Or you can be the Mercy that just flies across and just gets mowed down by Bastion.
I've never had that happen. Never have. No, yeah. I
absolutely not.
No, that's never happened to me. Something a little less serious, less mechanic driven, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Given how amazing the voiceover interactions have become in game, can we anticipate any particularly awesome conversations in the Nexus between Ariel and other Diablo characters?
Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's any memorable ones. You know, this is one of the interesting things about like voiceovers and our writers is they do such a good job. A lot of the time, I don't realize they're saying stuff because it just makes sense.
Right.
You log into the game and they banter with some and they're like, hey, you're a demon. And they're like, well, yes, I am. And you're like, oh, hey, that was cool. That, you know, and you don't think about it because it works. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I think she's got a pretty funny one, I think, with Johanna.
Okay.
If you end up spawning in a game together, you know, she says something like, you know, since I have you on my team, do you think the other team finally has a chance? You know, or do you think our team or the enemy has a chance at all? And she's like, you're ever a font of hope. Or something
nice.
Like that.
Nice.
I thought that was pretty cute. Was,
nice.
You know,
that is
kind
awesome.
Of the fact that she is the angel of hope or the archangel of hope.
Sure, sure.
She's got a cool one, too. I think it's with Cho'Gall, if you kill him.
Hmm.
It's something like, well, I thought Tyrael and I had a sibling rivalry, you know, or something like that.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Nice. I thought that was pretty clever, too.
That's great.
But it's a, you know, that's the fun thing is that whole discovery process, too, of as you're playing the game, just the randomest things come up of hero interactions. If you meet them in lane, if you kill them, if you fight them, if you know, all these different things, those little quips that just surprise you to make you laugh.
Yeah. It feels like there's more and more being added to the game all the time. It might just be that, I don't know, I'm just discovering moving forward, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, we try to do it. You know, that's one of those things that from time to time we'll get those ideas. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this? And the funny thing, Justin Dye, our one of our lead writers for our game, is he writes everything you could possibly imagine. He's like, what if in the year 2015, that's not quite far in the future because it's in the past, but you know, what if 2025, we're going to make a Diablo 5 and we'll have this character. He might even write a line for that just in case. And so if and when we bring the person to the Nexus, we'll have something there, or he'll build these interactions in there. And, you know, it's really fun to have those and to discover them. And it's absolutely hilarious. And our voice actors have so much fun with those and bringing these characters to life too, because normally, you know, if you look at Ariel, she's a relatively serious character. Her demeanor is kind of that even-headed mediator who isn't afraid to meet justice as well. But you know, when she breaks character a little bit and kind of delivers those lines, it's very Blizzard-like in injecting those times of humor.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. I love it. I mean, we're out of the questions on our list per se. Guys, do you have anything that popped to your mind you want to ask Tony?
I actually have a question. It's kind of silly, and I probably already know the answer. But...
Silly is what we do.
So since Ariel can take damage and deliver healing on the score screen, what stats is she going to have?
Oh, her role.
Well, primary support. So probably I would imagine, you know, I should know this answer. I would imagine it would probably be healing, because that's what we want to focus on the most. Because if we're looking at a support role, I mean, obviously you'll have both, but if it's, you know, like for instance, tank, we'll have different stats or whatever. It should be based off of healing is the one we're looking at primarily.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm thinking.
Nice. Yeah. Or, you know, you could be that Rhett Pally who just rolls into space bar all the time and you roll face and your whole team dies and you bubble in and you run. And so hopefully not. And it's
Bubble hearth.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she does not have bubble hearth, so you won't have that problem. And if you hit space bar, she won't jump. So I think you're good on that one.
Nice.
Uther needs a bubble hearth.
Uther does need a bubble hearth. Yeah. That's awesome.
We'll give him a troll skin before we do that.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be good. Here's one totally off the cuff until anybody thinks of something else. Did you happen to know or work with Andy Weir while he was still at Blizzard?
You know, I can't say I did.
Okay. I can't remember when he left Blizzard. That's why I'm asking. I don't know.
Yeah, and so this is the funny thing too is, you know, we've grown so big over the course of time and we have so many different projects. Now there are actually some folks that I have met and I'm like, oh hey, what's up, dude?
Right.
Hey guy, how's it going? You know, hey lady. And I see them every day and for the life of me I can't remember their name.
I'm so bad with names.
That makes
Don't
me
feel
a horrible
bad.
Human being.
But, yeah, no.
But not that I can think of.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about though. He wrote the Martian.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
because
he was on the StarCraft team. I think, wasn't he? I think he was on the StarCraft team.
You know, I don't know, to be honest.
Okay.
This is one of the scary things, once again. We share the same building with them, but we're upstairs and they're downstairs.
Right.
Yeah, and it's the same type. There's folks on my team that I don't know either. Sorry, team, if you're listening, I apologize if I don't know your name.
Feel bad, honestly. There are people that I went to school with literally for 13 years, from kindergarten through high school, and I'll run into them just randomly, and I know exactly who they are. I remember conversations we had, things we did. Can't remember their name. It's awful. My saving grace has always been that my wife didn't go to the same high school as I did. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, hey, did you meet my wife, Shauna? And they're like, hey, Shauna, Tim. And it's like, oh, Tim, that's right. I just have to make sure not to say that part out loud.
So funny, I was actually going to recommend that to you because I've done that plenty. I've had the one awkward interaction where they just stare at me and wait for me to introduce them back. And I'm like, awkward. I'm just like, how long do I look at them until they actually introduce me? realize I don't know their name. So, yeah. So I would say 95% of the time, glorious strategy, introduce someone else in order to get their name.
Right.
Expect that 5% awkwardness, or if you're lucky, you will never have to live that down.
I can be both.
Always introduce yourself in those situations so you're not the one that's at the 5%.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. He worked on. Weir worked on Warcraft 2. Tides.
Oh, it was Warcraft 2. Okay. I was thinking of Starcraft. Okay. Time.
Yeah. I started in 2003.
All right. Sorry. Sorry. Off the hook. Yeah.
Sorry, Kaylee. You were saying you had an awkward something.
Oh, I didn't know my cousin's name for like 10 years.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
my own cousin.
I don't know my grandfather's name. My wife, she looks at me disbelief every time I tell her that, and I still don't know his name, to be honest. Because in Chinese culture and grew up, he's grandfather. And so that's what I've called him. And so when we were getting married and we sent out wedding invitations, she was like, "Well, what's your grandfather's name?" And I'm like,
grandfather.
And she's like, no, seriously, what's his name? I don't know. I've never asked. And so I had asked my dad, and he told me, and I wrote it down, and I've forgotten it since. But up until this point, yeah, he's still grandfather, because I've never had a need to use it.
Huh. I actually kind of have a similar thing with that. I was in my early 20s, and somebody asked me what my grandfather's name was, and I said, his name's Bud. And my mom's standing next to me, she goes, "No, it's not." I was like, "What do you mean? His name's, everybody called him Bud or Buddy. Is it Buddy?" She's like, "That's not his name." So what are you talking? That's what everybody calls him. She's like, "His name's Bernard. His name's not Bud." And I just kind of stood there for a minute. I'm like, his name's Bernard? Really? It took me a while to process.
That's why they called him Bud.
Yeah, I didn't know. His name's Bud. Everybody calls him Bud. Hey, Bud, how's it going? I figured his name's Bud.
Well, the great part is they're family and they can't disown you. Then they're stuck with you.
This
is
true.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, this is true. Well,
they can try.
They did. It didn't work, though. I won the court case. So.
Well, there you go.
We have, it looks like Gigalus wants to ask a question, but he's typing it out. So I guess while he's doing that, I don't have a question. I just have a comment. I think that Rez is like the coolest heroic ability. And when I read that, I was like, oh my goodness. I am so stoked. I cannot wait to play her.
Yeah.
The anticipation around it is just so phenomenal. Because first and foremost, if you die, you're a ghost and you're just kind of waiting. Because as opposed to, you know, normally you just you go to the little Nexus screen and it shows you you're dead and you get to watch everyone else having fun to remind you died. But now you get to stand in game as a ghost and you're like, hey, pick me. And Ariel gets to see all the different ghosts as people die. So you can choose who you want to resurrect.
Dead people.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, she does. She does. Indeed. She's got a sixth sense, you can say. The anticipation of, you know, am I going to get resurrected? And then for the other team to go, oh, no, she's casting it, just stun her. It's really awesome. And that if you come back, along with coming back with more life, you get, I think it's like a 200% movement speed. So you run so fast. And so hopefully it's not running away, which is awesome for that. But if you want to run to catch up or to engage or to get back into the thick of battle, but it's absolutely hilarious. You see someone come back and then they take off and hopefully they don't leave you behind. But it's such a fun ability though.
So she can get interrupted during the cast, during the channel?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's a 3-second channel.
Something like that. For, you know, in general, for something that game-changing, we always want to make sure there's gameplay and there's counterplay to it. So for as powerful as it is, we want to have the ability for the other team to telegraph it, to go, hey, if we're good enough, we can stop that. And you feel awesome for stopping it, too.
Nice.
Yep.
Very nice. So when your teammates are, when they die, if they have Ariel on the team, do they get like a... like a ghost avatar, like a ghost skin, essentially, almost like Uther when he transitions.
Yep, yep.
So each hero has its own ghost's look to it now?
Yeah, so you get the little yellow form that just kind of chills out.
Nice.
And then that'll pick me moment, and hopefully you get chosen. And then for the heroes that do naturally have ghosts, like, you know, Tyrael or for Uther or for Leoric, you still retain your natural form, but you can still be resurrected.
Okay, so... I guess for Tyrael especially, if he gets, because that's 3 seconds as well. So
uh-huh.
So There's so no way for him to detonate and get resurrected, or...
So for Tyrael, I believe we special case it, because that is something innate to Tyrael that we would not want to take it away from him.
Okay.
So Tyrael can die, run, blow someone up and take him with them, and then you can resurrect him.
So you can't even start the cast until the Archangel's Wrath, the explosion.
You know, I'm not sure. Okay. I haven't actually tried that. My guess is you probably can't, because I think we do want to make sure Tyrael gets his moment.
Okay.
Because more than likely, you are going to not be able to time it well enough that you will hit it right as he dies, such that you can before he would explode. Anyway, the timing is the same. It would be very tough.
Yeah,
you could tell Tyrael, "Hey, I got your back. Go for this. Go. I got you."
Yes.
And then they run in, and you just wait. Yes. And you just wait. And then right when they die, then you click the button.
Yes.
Yeah. Next MLG, Mike's gonna eat his words.
It'll happen.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. I right after this, that the YouTube video is coming out. For whatever.
They're gonna try it. They're gonna try it as much as possible to figure out how they.
Yes. Not really part of what we're talking about here, but I don't know if you guys saw the news from the little Tyrael thing going on in ESL right now, but that was interesting. We don't have to go more into that, but
I've been stuck at the office. So.
Oh, okay. There was a bug that was being exploited in the fall qualifiers with Tyrael.
Oh, wacky! Hope we get the fix soon.
It was interesting.
I'm sure we have top men on it already.
top men. Yes. Yes, of course. So, do you particularly have a favorite hero that you just gravitate towards?
Oh, wow. Favorite hero. It probably has to be Sylvanas or Nazebo. Those are probably the
I was gonna say Mike would like that choice.
I play versus AI most of the time. Because like I said, it's my way of just kind of unwinding and strangely enough, it's a guaranteed win almost always for me.
Almost.
There have been those games that I'm like
1 in 8, 1 in 9 chance.
Depends on
where...
the people you're playing with.
Yes.
The problem.
Yes. I've definitely had those, but more often than not, I just like her to have that ability to disable minion waves, the ability to disable towers. Like, it makes you feel powerful. It makes you feel fun. And, you know, she's got her little, oh my gosh, for one of my favorites, a little Banshee wave thingy. Can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
But and then even, you know, with the changes they made for the mind control, that's so fun too. You just grab someone and run them straight into the stack of your team and watch them explode.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I hate to be on the other end of that.
Yes.
It's horrible.
I was going to say, I both love and hate that heroic ability now.
Yeah.
She feels like she just has a great role. Like she has special role that like she can do and nobody else can. And she can really spearhead a push down a lane like nobody. I mean, just get through towers. And if you can get that going, you it's just amazing.
Yeah,
that's great. And you know, hopefully that's the same type of feel that we're aiming for Ariel as well. And, you know, for other heroes as well, to make sure that they have that niche and that specific role and they feel good about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, all right. It looks like we're coming to the end of our time here together. Tony, if you could give the folks just a quick recap of, what your role at Blizzard. And if you want to give them any final messages, where to find you on Twitter or anything like that, please feel free.
Sure. Once again, Tony Hsu, senior producer on Heroes of the Storm. I primarily work with the design group and just making sure that we're able to get stuff out the door and we have the best game possible for all of you. Last words, I actually meant to open with this, but I wanted to congratulate you on your 100th episode.
Thank you,
thank you for playing for our game, and thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for all the things you do for the community. It's absolutely wonderful, and even for taking the time to chat with me. I appreciate it. It's really important, you know, and it's great to know that you're interested in speaking with us and that we have the ability to chat with the community. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess if I were to say one last thing, I would say I rolled a 20.
Nice. Thank you. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I've been listening to her all day. She's awesome.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Thank you so much, Tony. It was an absolute pleasure having you on. And
My pleasure. Absolutely. It's just great hanging out.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Welcome back anytime you'd like. And we're definitely excited for Ariel. So great work. Can't wait to play her.
Yeah, well, you know, I look forward to doing the 200th and 300th anniversary or the podcast.
You got it. It's a standing invitation.
Done.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Cheers. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks.
Yes, everybody was downloading Legion. All right. So I restarted the recording. So we'll do this as kind of a recap for everybody, and I'll put this into the show as well. The recap, Ariel is going to be absolutely amazing. Support, healer, but with a huge damage focus, which is awesome. I love the concept of do damage to do healing. I think that's great. Kayla, you nailed it on the head with the Dispriest. That's just, yeah. But then they went that much further with the way Bestow of Hope works, which is her trait. For you guys, I can tell you what the trait is. Bestow Hope is your D. Bestow an allied hero with hope while they remain near you. And we didn't ask the distance. He might not have known exactly, but I'm curious about the distance. Damage they deal. This is the heroes that you put Bestow Hope on. Damage they deal causes you to gain energy. You can only have Bestow Hope on one ally at a time. 40% of damage dealt to heroes and 8% to non-heroes is stored as energy. And then your W, Ray of Heaven, is consume your stored energy and heal allied heroes in the area for the amount of energy consumed. So that is a cool mechanic where it's specific to which hero is bringing the energy in and yourself, your own damage. But then when you heal, it's a burst AOE. I absolutely love that. I think that's amazing. This is going to be a hero that I'm going to be playing pretty much nonstop, I'm sure. Because again, Tyrael, I went in and looked. Tyrael is above and beyond my highest played.
You just like flowy angels.
I love flowy angels. I love flowy angels, yes.
I like that, and I meant to say it on the show, but we talk about other stuff that flowed more naturally. I really like that they are doing more heroes with skill shots.
Yes.
Because I, you know me, I'm slightly competitive, and I like I like the competition play, and so like seeing things like skill shots, it's gonna set apart those more casual players with the more competitive players, where they can kind of take those, like you're saying, take those heroes to the next level.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, there is a difference between just your average player and the god tier Illidans who just tear you apart and you just you know.
It's like there's Illidan and I'm dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then there's why is that Illidan running away? Oh, that's silly. He should be hitting me. That's when I actually am Illidan running away. Because I was not prepared.
She's her R, the main one that probably people will pick up is Resurrect.
Yes.
And that's pretty crazy. We talked a lot about that. Probably won't go into it too much, but it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then there's one that I don't know that how many people will take this, but basically it's called Crystal Aegis.
Mm-hmm.
And it places you in a stasis, a hero in stasis for 2 seconds. And then when it's done, you it does 270 damage to nearby enemies.
Yeah.
So basically it turns you into like a little bomb.
I think he's right, though. Tony said that's going to be something they probably anticipate seeing that more in competitive play. I think he's right. That's going to be
I think you're not going to see the resurrection as much when you get closer to the competitive play, because I don't think it's going to gain something. But I think that they'll probably see the damage dealing to be more of a benefit in some situations. Obviously it depends on the comp you're going against and what your comp looks like.
Right. Well, not only that, in a competitive match, you know, especially the high end competitive, you can have a whole match go with only, you know, 5, 6, 7 deaths.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
there's not, if you don't think that, if you think you're not gonna die, which you actually should probably play as if you're not
right
then you may want to look for that damage. And it's actually a pretty decent damage, and that's it's great for a team fight, and it's a 2-second delay, which is not long and not long enough to get away.
No.
So you run in there, you hit that on them, and they explode all over everybody.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that the alt he was talking about, Crystal Aegis, I'm wondering, or is that the one I'm thinking of?
That's the
explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's going to help those people, those slippery people that get away, and if you're chasing them, but you have that explosion, I wonder if it's going to be more last second kills that way.
It could be. I mean,
do you think they'll use it more strategically, like in a team fight?
The thing that I thought of immediately was like anytime somebody over engages and they're getting body blocked in, they can quick hit them in stasis, and then you know, the retaliation of that is that you could actually take somebody out on the other team. That's kind of where, and almost like a mosh pit killer too. Like if there's one person, it also depends on how low.
Yeah, it depends on how big the radius is.
Yeah. Well, the screenshots make it look pretty big. The graphic on the screenshots make it look.
But yeah, it definitely is a wombo too, where type of thing, where any type of large stun, and then you set that off in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, actually even on ETC, although I think it would stop the thing. So you probably couldn't do that.
If you put ETC into stasis. Yeah, but you'd be putting your own teammate. Thing.
Yeah, but you put your ally into stasis, and
right. So you wouldn't stasis everybody. Your own ETC
you
and
can't
mosh
stasis
pit.
ETC because it stopped the mosh pit.
Right.
So you'd have to pick somebody else in there of yours to do to pick up the.
So do you think people will troll with Oriole then?
Yeah, they might. It's possible. I mean, it is her. It's her heroic. Man. So you're only going to be able to troll once every minute and a half. So, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, you could see that.
Although I can see if people aren't picking that one, that cooldown might go down.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where I could see them making that more. You want to pick it more often.
Yeah.
I don't know the word I was going for. But that would make it worth it, because kind of like some of the other talents where, you know, so where one of the R's is like really low, like the gust. Right, would be really low compared cooldown compared to the Highland Beam or whatever it's called. But what it actually does in terms of damage is low.
Interland Blast. That's very close to Highland Beam, though, I have to say.
That's close. Highland, Interland.
Highland Beam.
It's very close.
Interland Blast.
Beam Blast. We're all, HB. I went with HB. I knew it was HB. Some sort HB.
Highland Beam is like the equivalent of those movies that you see at Redbox. That's like instead of Jurassic Park, it's Cretaceous Park.
Correct. It's like Cretaceous land or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Zombie land. Zombieville instead of Zombieland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
That's amazing.
The FACO. It's the FACO.
FACO. Yes. Seiko, right. Nice.
Ralex.
Yeah.
Watch.
Molex. Yeah, that's why it was a Molex. Yeah.
Molex
she
is a totally different thing. That's an actual thing, and you know that.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And so is Romex.
That's true. Romex. Yeah, that's something I see every day. Is Romex.
I know.
Yeah, very close, up close and personal. She is going to be range. That's from further back in the chat.
Yes.
Yeah, she's range. The ribbons on like every screenshot, you just tell how much work they put into these ribbons. And making them look.
They're ribbons.
Yes, ribbons. yes. We have confirmation. They
are
ribbons.
Wascally ribbons.
Yes. This, I got to be honest, guys, this is an insta buy for me. Ariel, insta buy.
I use some of my gold to buy Gul'dan.
See, I don't even have enough gold to buy her.
60,000 gold. I don't have it anymore, though.
You are a hoarder.
Well, I hoarded so I could buy Gul'dan.
That's true. See, I didn't buy Gul'dan, but that's because I'm not a warlock. I don't know. I've never been able to play a warlock. I've tried and I couldn't. I don't even like playing warlock in Hearthstone, to be honest. But just that whole life tap mechanic is like, I don't want to damage myself. I want to damage somebody else. So, but no, she just, oh my gosh, I can't wait. Can't wait. All right, I'm weeding through the chat here to see some other stuff. Yes, it's like an external ice block, the Crystal Aegis, except ice block doesn't explode.
Pardon me. It's 2 seconds, then it explodes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of quick. It's
doesn't
really
Jaina
not.
Have a talent where ice block will do damage when it explodes? Doesn't she? Does that seem...
I don't remember.
There's does that seem completely like that. Off?
Not completely.
Not completely? Somewhat off? Just
it's
not...
an outside possibility.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. It's shock and awe. You're right. Wait, that's what it was called before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Back in Alpha, it was called shock and awe. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? Yeah. And then somebody... Nah, never mind. I was going to get political, but somebody looked up that George yes. Bush Jr. video and was like, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. It was Falstad's thing.
Falstad, yeah. Shocking. All. Yeah, in Alpha. We've been playing this game a That's really long time. It's getting hard to remember the timeline of things.
Did you make sure to tell them that we were the longest running here?
I didn't.
Podcast?
Darn it, I should have. I meant to say it. You know what? I'll say it at the beginning when I introduce the show. That's what I'll do. Yes.
Are you planning on doing the kind of going through the kit before
getting in? Yeah, I think we pretty much covered everything.
We
might as well finish
kind
it
of
up.
Initialize, well, because we didn't really initiate that we're going to talk about her at all. We just kind of went into it.
Right, right. I mean, really, the only thing let's do it now because the only thing we didn't cover was her Q and her E. Because the W is her Ray of Heaven, which is what you use to unleash the energy.
That's your healing.
And
I guess you can you can point it. At different people, so you don't have to it's not just a single thing, because he said that you move
it is targetable. The
That's
ray
what
of heaven
about.
Oh, I was thinking the Ray of Heaven.
Remember, he
was
saying you could target, because there's only that's only heal, so it's got to be different.
No, it's the bestow hope that you can move that benefit. I think that's what he's talking about, the bestow hope.
Wasn't it? I thought he was talking about healing people.
Yeah, maybe. No, I think he was talking about the bestow hope, the D, where you can like your Abathur hat, drop it from person
you
to person.
Flop it around. Oh,
yeah, okay. That would like you don't just have it on, you know, the Vala who's in your lane.
One
you move
person,
around
yeah.
and you just, you know, you switch it up just to.
That's what I would expect you would do. I mean,
yeah, yeah. I mean, you should because that, you know, you're getting the best
not
benefit out of it.
Anymore, you might as well switch it.
Right, right, right. Well, her Q.
That Illidan that's running away.
Yes, you don't have bestow hope on the running Illidan. The diving Illidan.
That much hope.
Is what
he
you
doesn't
want.
Have much hope.
Yes. Yeah, the diving one.
He yeah, should... and then the Q.
Her
Q is
the
sweep.
Sweep. Sacred
That's
sweep.
Lane clear.
Yeah. So you sweep the area with sacred power, dealing 80 damage to enemies and an additional 160 damage to enemies caught in the center, which is awesome. It actually, when I saw this, it made me think about Malthiel in the Malthiel fight. When he does the wings, mm-hmm. like the fire wings that come in.
Yep, yep,
and
yep.
then when it gets to center, you better not be standing there, especially if you're a wizard or a demon hunter, because you're going to get torn
You'll
apart.
Die immediately.
Yeah, insta death. Yes.
Yep.
Insta death. So that looks cool. I love that. It's going to be interesting to see like how fast that sweep is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Actually, yep. I have to admit, I didn't watch the YouTube video that they gave us in this press release.
I did not yet either. I was at work.
I had a particularly odd day today, honestly. I'm just gonna say I'm gonna mute this, but I'm gonna watch just see kind of if any speed can be gleaned from this. That's how you guys went to DC over the weekend?
I think so.
Yeah. We picked a really awful weekend.
Yeah, you said you were going to.
Yeah. So. Both the kids were very sick, very, very sick.
How unusual.
I know. And now guess what I am? I am horrifically, horribly, unbelievably sick. I need to go to the doctor tomorrow, actually.
You?
I've got a sinus infection.
You're
I know.
Never sick.
And guess what? It started from our niece. That never happens. My lovely, lovely niece, who is the walking plague. It never starts with that. This is the Ariel and Gul'dan development, in development video. All right, I wasn't sure if it was Oreo specific.
Yeah,
Oreo
specific. No, that was the in development video.
Yeah.
The and then the E is the single target first enemy hero hit. So yes. It does damage the first enemy hero hit and knocks them back, and if they collide with terrain, they're stunned. And that's enemy hero only. Does not hit minions.
Correct. Right.
Just
and
heroes.
Terrain
so it's a
lot
only. Like
terrain only. So it's not like yeah. knockback not knockback. What's Murden's
Diablo's thing?
Oh, no, Haymaker, where anything, any other person you hit, even people, your own team, it'll cause collision. It's not like that. It's only terrain. And yes, it stuns them.
If they hit terrain.
If they hit terrain. Right. And they get additional damage, and they get a second and a quarter stun. And Kaylee is particularly excited because she's going to be stunning people into turrets.
Yep.
Actually, Kaylee, that brings new meaning to the term hug the turret.
I didn't even
make
think about
you
that.
Hug the turret.
You hug that turret.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so awesome.
You are required to, anytime you're playing her, every time you hit E, you just need to shout, hug that turret.
I will. I'm gonna my hashtag pin tweet on Twitter for like 2 years now has been GG chicken sandwich.
Yes.
So I might have to change it
to hug the turret.
Yeah, once she comes out.
That's a callback for old school listeners. Like, there are people who a lot of listeners who are not going to know what that means. I'm not going to make you go back and listen to the first 30 episodes, but if you didn't, you're not going to have any idea what we're talking about there. maybe not 30. First,
our league
15
days.
To 20. Yes. back when we were podcasting about a game that wasn't even
learning
an alpha yet.
And learning how to play a MOBA.
Yes. Yes.
Ralph, what are you doing? Hug the turret, Ralph.
Hug the turret.
Ralph, no.
I never promised to be nice.
No,
never,
you didn't. No. And you certainly lived up to that non-promise. And
what
yes,
are you doing,
Ralph? Chicken sandwiches forever. I can't believe we've never run into chicken sandwich again.
I think he probably stopped
playing.
He
I think he heard one episode and went, oh my God.
Yeah.
Actually, like, maybe we just ruined him in that one game. That was it. He like gave up on the whole game after that game. He was like, this game sucks. My team sucked. I'm quitting. This is horrible.
Here's a call forward, because this will actually end up being the episode after this episode that gets posted. But what Chicken Sandwich did is he deinstalled. Afterwards.
Oh my gosh.
So that's a call forward / back.
Deinstalled.
Yes, he deinstalled. And Kaylee might not remember that because she's pretty drunk at that point.
Here's a hint or a spoiler of the episode that's coming in after this.
Yes.
Every game that I played in my team, every team game we played in that episode, my team won.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
Fancy.
Nice.
Which is really weird, because usually I'm on the every time. So I enjoyed it quite a bit.
All right. Yeah, because the teams got
play.
Switched up quite
Especially
a lot.
That Rhaegar play. That was a nice, that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. So what ended up happening, folks, is that Friday, we were supposed to do the interview with Tony. No, Thursday. Thursday was supposed to be the interview with Tony. And by saying we had technical difficulties, me had technical difficulties, meaning I, my, it was my mic, Skype is, I don't know, something. There's some setting deep within the bowels of my computer that makes me cut out to everybody else in Skype. I don't know why. I got to fix that somehow. So we didn't do that.
It's a nice setting, because whenever anybody talks, you cut out. And any noise, it cuts you out.
I know. It's so weird.
I think it's what it is.
I know.
It's weird.
You know what I have to do? I have to deinstall Skype.
Yes.
And then reinstall. I have to deinstall and reinstall Skype.
And install.
Yes. Yes.
That is so
You have to deinstall and uninstall.
Deinstall and uninstall, yes. So then Friday, we didn't have the interview done, because I was going to kind of frame things differently. So basically, we just had this amazing game fest on Friday night, all pertaining to the official Heroes of the Storm drinking game. So there's much drinking to be had. So the audio from that, which ended up being a little over 3 hours, I'm going to break into two different parts, basically. So episode 100 will be this, what we're talking right now, which will be a 100 part one, and then to be 100 part two and 100 part three. Just a forewarning, 100 part two was pretty good. There wasn't too much in the way of blue language. Swing, for whatever reason, wanted to just right off the bat, just do a little splurge right there in the front, like just.
Thankfully, it wasn't boom, boom, me boom, boom. Dropped the first F bomb.
No, it was Swing Cat, and on purpose, just to kind of just get it going. But it really wasn't bad after that. Part three, however, don't play it on speakers.
You can't bleep
in your car.
Enough. You cannot possibly bleep.
No,
enough
it's not even possible.
It would just not be possible.
No. So, yeah, part three of episode one will be definitively the most explicit Hotscast episode to date. Just a forewarning.
All we were doing was calling out the name of one of the players.
A name
that's
of
all
a,
we were doing.
Yes. Well, that's not
one
all,
of the players' names.
His name did contribute quite a lot to, to it. And I'll admit,
him a lot.
I was just
we
as
doing.
Guilty. I was just as guilty as anybody else. Maybe more so. It depends on how you interpret.
Yes.
That was, oh my gosh, that was funny.
Bleeped version.
Just giggling about it.
Bleep, 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 bleep. It would just be bleeped like the whole show would
so
just be one
fun.
Big bleep. That's what you should do. You need a tone. You should just replace the entire audio with just the tone and then post it. And go, here's the bleeped version.
Right?
So it's like an hour and a half of just beep, and that's it.
Oh my gosh. All right. So there is now calls for a bleep version. They will pay for the bleep version. How many hours of bleeping will it be? Convert it to dollars. We'll pay.
Peanut. No, not peanuts. Close, though.
Oh
very
gosh.
Close.
Oh, gosh. Oh, you guys are killing me. I love you guys. You're awesome. So, yeah, I think that's it for part one. Of episode 100. We're going to go take a 3-hour break now while we do part two and part three.
Everybody listen to us playing while partially drunk and then mostly drunk.
I have to be honest with you. I get so many people who tell us how much fun it is. Like, they love hearing those episodes when it's just us streaming and playing. It's amazing. People are like, oh, it's so fun listening to you guys play. You guys are so
good.
Well,
we should actually save the video this time.
Yes, we should. Yes, that's
make
a
sure
lot.
It doesn't
that's
go
my
away.
Fault. I just keep forgetting to go in and press save because it's so hard to log into Twitch and press
save.
Save
it for you. Yeah,
I wish
it
too. I need auto.
I liked when they would save them all.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they had it and they don't let you do it anymore.
No, because for whatever reason, they're running out of storage. I mean, it's not like Twitch is owned by the largest storage company.
Oh, did you see, not that this has anything to do with Twitch, but did you see that Verizon bought Yahoo?
Oh
yeah, I'm privy to that type of.
Yeah. Are you really? I'm surprised that. Yeah,
she has to know that stuff ahead of time.
Well, we have an intranet where every day they tell us like what's going on, and they've been talking about that for a little while.
You know, Kaylee, Mike, and I were so good.
It's not the whole company though. It's just parts of Yahoo, and the rest of it's going to become Yahoo Investments or some weird thing like that.
Right.
Certain,
yeah,
they were
out.
Looking for certain patents and some of the social media aspects of it.
Yes.
Right. Right. Yeah. Mike and I were so good Tumblr. At not revealing your company during the whole strike situation, and then you just go and blow it in one shot. So.
Hey, I mean, the strike's over now, so it's okay.
Okay.
It was,
all right. Fair
it
enough.
It was during the strike that it was really sensitive because, like, those particular types of workers will use anything against the company that they can. It's ridiculous.
Of course.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I had some words for a few of them that were picketing in front of a Verizon store in the mall. And I said to the guy, I'm like, look, you know, I'm not telling you that, you know, what you're standing up for is wrong or whatever, but you do realize that you're keeping people from earning a living that don't even work for Verizon, that this is not a Verizon corporate store. Like, these people don't work for Verizon, and you're actually
they were standing
them.
Outside of an authorized retailer,
and it said so real stupid. Big Verizon authorized retailer. It did not say, you know, corporate store. Verizon authorized retailer.
Caliber, yeah, it's like caliber of worker.
I'm like, just, dude, you're messing up somebody who's working for minimum wage, and you know he doesn't even work for Verizon. You're not even harming Verizon by keeping him from making a sale today. Like, that's not cool.
Swingcast said hashtag politics.
Is that? I don't know if that's that's corporate ticks.
Corporate ticks.
Hashtag corporate ticks. Yes.
Yeah.
Corporate ticks.
Yes.
Stop.
We gaming?
Yes.
Are we gaming?
Oh my gosh. I have so much. You gotta go. I have so much work to do.
And we played for 3 hours, so if you want to not, I'm fine with that, because
I literally have 3 hours of paperwork
to do.
Let's
play one match, because Giga wants to play a match with us. Just one! It's like 20 minutes! You do this to me every week, I don't want to hear it.
No, you're right. All right, fine. I have to send an email right now begging the forgiveness of somebody for something being late. And then, yes, we can... All right, fine. I'm logging in. Fine.
Bye.
All right, I'm stopping this recording. Fine. Say bye to everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Yay, 100 episodes.
100, yay.
Bye.
Oh, shit. Nuclear launch detected.
I rolled a 20.
If I were to say one last thing, I would say, I rolled a 20.
Nice. Thank you. That's fantastic.